First, I'd just like to welcome some visitors. Pastor Boris and Pastor Ann are here visiting with us this morning. It's an honor to have you here to worship with you. The Lord bless you. I believe they need to leave at about 11 for their own service. So if they get up in the middle of my sermon, it's not because they're protesting. Well, they might be. You should ask them on the way out. They might be protesting. We'll see. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, you are good. You have created us, and then you have recreated us by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You have given us your Holy Spirit, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have sent your Spirit, O Lord God, to lead us into your truth. We're so grateful, Father, for all of your provision and your blessing to us, Lord. There's so much that we do not grasp, we do not know of how you are actively at work within us and through us and around us, O Lord God. And I would ask that even this morning, in this time that we worship you together, Lord, that you would bring to our minds through the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would make us to know, Lord, how great you are, your faithfulness through all generations, your mighty power, O Lord God, strengthening us and enabling us to live the lives which you've called us to. So, Father, I ask that you would do your work of shaping us, our hearts, our minds, our souls, into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ in this time this morning. And that you, Father, would receive all glory, all honor, and all praise. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, and in his name, amen. Amen. So we're going to start next week our series on spiritual warfare. I know. It's actually Pastor Ann who helped to bring that to the forefront as something that I think we really do need to be seeking the Lord on, to be understanding from God and engaging in, because there is a battle going on around us at all times according to the Word of God. This morning, though, I wanted to finish up with our shorter series on some of the passages from VBS. And I wanted to close this week with the theme verse for VBS. And again, thank everyone for all of your work and prayer and love. It is an amazing week. I've always found it so interesting that even though the kids are only here for 3 hours as opposed to they go to school, it's 6 hours. However, it is exhausting. And for the teachers and volunteers, Louise is looking at me like, what are you talking about? I find it exhausting, and I'm not even teaching during that time. But I think part of it, too, is the spiritual reality that is going on and is really being felt by all of us. But it was a wonderful week of leading the children to know the Lord. And the theme passage for the week comes from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you would turn with me, please, there. You'll find it right after 1 Peter. Oh, come on, that's a joke. Come on. I think you know that. Second Peter chapter 1. Numbers of years ago, we studied through 1 and 2 Peter together, and was just so blessed by these letters. Really highlight in 2 Peter Jesus Christ. He is just so the focus of everything that Peter does and says and proclaims through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to us. We're just going to look at two verses today, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. They really go together with the whole section from 3 to verse 11 as sort of a mini sermon from Peter. But we're just going to look at verses 3 and 4 this morning. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This is God's Word. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are born again, your allegiance, your citizenship has been transferred from this world into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is completely different. It has a different ethic, a different foundation, a different king. We dwell in the midst of this world, but we also are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We are partakers of, as Peter lays out here, the divine nature of God Himself. Partakers of it. And everything is different in the kingdom of God. We've often referenced Phil Vischer from VeggieTales and his later series, Buck Denver, when he talks about the kingdom of God as the upside-down kingdom. Everything's different than this kingdom. The kingdom of the world, the one who is first is king. The one who is the strongest and the most aggressive and the wealthiest is number one. But Jesus says, the first in the kingdom of God will be last. The last in the kingdom of God will be first. That we are called to, as we lead by serving. Like we saw Jesus demonstrate for us, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the rightful ruler of all creation, that He gets down on His knees and He washes His disciples' feet to show us part of what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world, sin is fine. And getting more so. And you actually, there's almost a value to sin, but not in the kingdom of God. God calls us to righteousness, to holiness. And if you're a believer for just a few moments, if you try to take that on yourself, to become holy yourself, you find that that's not possible. So often for young believers, we come to faith in Jesus Christ by His grace. We are believing, we are born again, and we understand that everything has changed at that point. But then often we go about trying to walk with Jesus, walk in God's kingdom under our own power, under our own strength, our own goodness. And then especially we come around other Christians and sometimes we see that they're walking with the Lord and it makes us feel badly that we're not. So maybe we start to fake it and we just put on the happy face and the happy smile so that it just looks like we're really holy, but on the inside, we're not. So if we can't walk in the Lord by our own strength, how can we follow Jesus Christ? Because Jesus doesn't say, I know you can't walk with me. I know the things I ask are unreasonable. And, you know, it's in heaven you'll be holy, but now don't worry about it. Everyone sins, just forget about it. That's not how Jesus talks in His Scriptures. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount, and the Beatitudes, He calls us to such a high ethic. Such a high holiness. So how? How can we, as believers in Jesus Christ, walk in Him? Well, it's to that Peter is addressing here in these few verses. He's going to list out for us three ways that God has equipped us to follow Him. and two reasons why He has equipped us to follow Him. And God almost always does this in the Scripture. He tells us what to do, but then He tells us the power by which He has given us to do that, to enable us, to strengthen and empower us. So it's not just a to-do, there's a why also, and a how that God provides, and He does that here. And this passage, God is going to talk about His divine power and His divine nature. His divine power and His divine nature. First, we see in verse 3, in the very beginning of that verse, it says, God has equipped us for life and godliness. This is holiness. This is the goal which we were just talking about. Life. Life abundantly. To live life abundantly. Godliness. To be conformed to the image and nature and character of Jesus. Overnight, yes, but then also over time. God constantly working within us. And this isn't something God says, now that you know me, go figure it out. He has equipped us for life and godliness. God is doing it. God is doing the work within us in order to give us life and in order to equip us for godliness. It's so like the Lord. He calls us to something and then He equips us and makes it possible for us to fulfill that. God has called us and equipped us for life and godliness. All right. How? How has He equipped us? There are three ways in this passage, as I mentioned earlier. First, He has equipped us, God has equipped us for life and godliness by His power. By His power, in the very beginning of this verse, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It is the Almighty God, King of the universe, the one who created every star, every galaxy, the one who created every blade of grass and grain of sand, the one who created all individuals by His word. It is His power which equips us. Now, it would be not so encouraging or strengthening to if the passage said, by Scott's great power, we've been equipped for life and godliness. That wouldn't really encourage you very much. My kids go off to school, I try to equip them, prepare them, we try to make sure they have a lunch, they have their homework, find out where left all over the house, try to put that back in the backpack. Is today saxophone day or Trump? You know, we try to prepare them, to equip them, to get them ready. But many times, our ability to equip them is insufficient. And so we get a call from the school, don't have the saxophone, right. Didn't have the lunch, right. Homework was, oh yes, and you know, I can blame them for it and say it's their fault, but I told them I would get it together, but I'm not sufficient. My power, my ability is not sufficient. When God says that His divine power is equipping us, His divine power is making it possible for us to live and for us to live godly lives. That is everything. It is all power has been poured out and given to us that we could live godly lives. We lack nothing for life as God has called us to. We lack no thing. Can't say to God, but Lord, I can't be holy. I can't grow in holiness. I can't follow You because You haven't given me all that I need. Oh, He has. By His divine power. God's divine power is mentioned all throughout Scripture. In so many ways we see the power of God. And my fear is that for many of us, as contemporary Christians here in our postmodern whatever world, that we've lost belief in the power of God. That we think that all we can have is what we can touch and feel. And so many of our prayers, I find I do this all the time. Many of my prayers, I kind of go weak on them. I almost don't expect God to work. My prayers sometimes are too small because I think, in part, I really question whether God in His power is going to come. And so if I'm in a difficult situation, I may ask for God to help me bear up under the situation, which is a fine prayer. But I might be a little nervous to say, God, could you please change the situation? God, could you please move in such a way that your power is evident? Yes. Only your power, God. May we see you at work and know that's you. It's like when Gideon was called by the Lord to go to battle, right? He had too many people with him. Why? Because if you have too many people going into battle, if you win, you'll think it's your power, not the power of God. And God made sure that when those 300 people without swords attacked an army of 180,000 and won, you can do nothing but say that was the power of God. The power of God is also so beautifully declared in Ephesians chapter 1 as the power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. The demonstration of the power of God. He is the author and giver and sustainer of life. And He demonstrated not just that He has power to raise a dead person to life. In raising Jesus Christ from the dead, He shows that the grave has no victory, that sin has been defeated. So if you in your life are saying, I can't follow the Lord because there's sin in my life that's just too ingrained, it's too deep within me, and I can't root it out, God says the very divine power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to conquer sin is the very power by which He has equipped us to walk in holiness. God has equipped us for life in godliness by His power. Number two, later in verse 3, He's equipped us for life in godliness by knowing Him. Sounds like such a simple thing, doesn't it? Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through our knowledge of Him. Now, as Westerners, when we see knowledge, we tend to assume that what that means then is book learning. And God has given us His Word. He's given us the book that we would know Him through it. Yes. God has created our minds that we would know and explore Him through our minds. Yes. But if we stop there, we miss the full meaning of what the Lord, through Peter, is saying here. When He's saying our knowledge of Him, God, when He talks about knowledge and knowing, He means a relationship. A relationship with Jesus. An intimate, thriving relationship. That as we know Jesus, as we walk with Jesus, as we relate to Jesus, as we interact with Him on a daily, minute-by-minute basis, praying unceasingly, dwelling in His presence all the time, becoming more and more aware that He is with us always and never will leave us and never forsake us. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is right here. He is here with us now. And there is nowhere that we are going to go this week, this year, where Jesus is not there. He is with us. And we know Him. We can talk with Him. We walk with Him. We hear from Him through His Word and in prayer. And this is how God, another way in this passage, God equips us for life and godliness. It's by intimately knowing Jesus. That is no small thing. It is not enough for us to know about Jesus. Right? James chapter 5. It says, the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they tremble with fear. knowing the power of Jesus and who He is. But they're not redeemed. They're not saved. They're not walking in Him, submitting to Him, surrendering their life to Him. There's no submission to His Lordship. But in submitting to Jesus, we are knowing Him. And it's not just a once and done thing. It's a every moment of every day. And when I was first a believer, it was so exciting. It was so exciting. The Scriptures were all new, right? Praying to the Lord was all new. Fellowshipping with other believers was all new and very, very exciting. And I was trained by the dear believers around me to have what we called a quiet time. Right, our daily quiet time. And so I would get up in the morning and I'd get my Bible, and at that point, you know, I was just didn't know anything, and I would often like, okay, I heard a friend was reading from Psalms. All right, I'm going to read Psalms. And I'd get started and I'd get a little confused, and then someone else would say, oh, I'm reading John, it's so blessing me. And so, okay, I'll go turn to John and read a few chapters, and I would just try my best to get to know the Scriptures and know the Lord. The idea of I had a set aside time in the morning. And that was a great blessing. But I've come to find out in the past just few years that if I just have a time of reading a passage and then saying a quick prayer in the morning, me personally, I know not you people, but myself, that I tend to then say, okay, see you later, Jesus. I'll see you tomorrow morning. And it really facilitated for me this not walking with Jesus, not knowing Him throughout the day. And those passages that I know are sometimes so confusing to us, pray unceasingly, as I just mentioned a few moments ago. How do we do that? Well, for myself, I've begun now having multiple times throughout the day set aside. I have a different alarm that goes off on my phone that kind of sings a nice song, it's time to pray. And I have different times. And so in the morning, I have a set aside time when I'm reading the Scriptures and praying to the Lord. And then when I leave that time, it's with this, the Lord is with me, and I know that at 12, for me, 12 o'clock, I'm going to come back in this intentional time with the Lord. And then for me, I know at 4:45, I'm coming back to an intentional time with the Lord. And for me, that's been wonderful blessing of knowing the Lord throughout the day, knowing Him, walking, becoming more aware that I'm dwelling in the presence of Christ. Because it is by knowing Him that God has equipped us for life and godliness. Third, God has equipped us for life and godliness by His precious and great promises, beginning in verse 4. Through these, and the through these is referring to His glory and goodness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. He has given us His very great and precious promises. If you don't have a little promise book, which just has, you can look up by subject, and it will go to the Scriptures and list Scripture after Scripture after Scripture that addresses that subject, whether it's money or whether it's fear or whether it's sickness or whatever it is. I encourage you to get one of those little books. They're only usually like 99 cents CBD or something like that. And they can be wonderful because for any specific situation, they'll call our attention through the Word of God to what God's promises actually are. And we need to be very careful here that we're not making up promises on what the Lord says. We're prone to do that too. But we need to know the Scriptures, that we know truly what His promises are, because He says in this passage here that it is by God's promises that He equips us for life and godliness. Therefore, let us know His promises. One of the promises that hopefully you've been enjoying and just glorying in this week was one that was printed on the little card next to one of the names from the children of VBS that Cynthia handed out last week. And I had a little baseball glove because the sports theme, and it had a child's name on it. And then next to it, she had a verse from John chapter 10, where it says a promise of God. Jesus says, nothing can snatch you out of my hand, and nothing can snatch you out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one. That is such a beautiful, precious promise. What are you going through this week? What is it that as we sit here is on your mind, is weighing on you? Did something wake you up last night? Is there something as you look forward to this week and go, I've got to have surgery, I got to get into the work, and I got to deal with those people, and I got to deal with the situation. I got to find work. I don't know where I'm going to be able to pay these bills or overdue. I got to make these phone calls, and I have to a family strife and family problems. I'm going to have to go into the middle of that. I'm praying for my children who are not walking with the Lord, and it's breaking my heart. What are the sufferings that we will walk through this week? Whatever they are. I'm not minimizing them. Whatever they are, God promises that you are in the palm of His hand. And that no circumstance, not even your own fault, not even when you screw up and sin, that nothing will take you out of the palm of God's hand. That changes everything. It doesn't make the problem go away. But you never go through it alone. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, I am with you to the end of the ages. You're never alone. The promises of God. How can I go forth and walk into that difficult situation in faith? Because I know that Jesus is with me and He has promised to never leave me. How can I step out in faith and share the gospel with that neighbor that I've lived next to for 40 years and have never really spoken about the Lord? It's so scary. The Lord is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His promises are with you. You are knowing Him and walking with Him. And His power is active for you as you go about this week. The three ways He has equipped us to live a godly life: His power, knowing Him, and His promises. And then He closes out verse 4 with giving two reasons, two purposes for Him equipping us. The end for which He equips us. What He desires as we live a godly life through His equipping, by His power, by knowing Him, and by His promises. First, in the middle of verse 2, He has equipped us for life and godliness for godliness. For the purpose of holiness. It is His desire that as we walk in Him, we are conformed and shaped more and more into the image of Jesus and His goodness and His holiness. Sin matters to the Lord. That's why He sent His Son to die on the cross. That's how seriously He takes it. And now He is desiring, calling us salvation through faith by God's grace in Christ. And then, by the empowering of the Holy Spirit and continued faith in our Savior, to walk in Him deeper and deeper and deeper. That we would grow in holiness. Middle of verse 4. So that, this is why He's given us these great promises that enable us to live life, to have life and godliness. So that through them, His promises, you may participate in the divine nature. That you may participate in the divine nature. It doesn't mean you become God. It doesn't mean you are sin free. It means that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are brought into the family of God. We are His children, adopted by Him, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we have a portion now the Holy Spirit is a down payment of God's promises and the inheritance, Ephesians chapter 1, and which we will inherit in heaven. But that we are now in Christ. We'll look at that more in the next few weeks. That God, when we're born again, He picks us up and He plants us in Christ, in the heavenlies. We dwell in Him and with Him and by Him and for Him. All those beautiful prepositions that He uses throughout His Scriptures. That we may participate in the divine nature. It's intentionally here, Peter is intentionally making this circular. Says that He has equipped us for godliness so that we can be godly. It's a both and. He's just calling out that this is His desire for us. That we would grow in holiness. Secondly, and in conclusion for our passage this morning, God has equipped us for life and godliness so that for fleeing corruption. Which is sort of the opposite here of godliness, right? It's the flip side of the coin. He has equipped us for life and godliness so that we can live godly lives. And what does that also mean? Flip the coin over. Escaping corruption. Escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Two sides of the same coin. God calls us to escape and resist evil desires. To not give in to the corruption of the world. He doesn't say that in order that we would be saved. He doesn't say, don't sin and I'll save you. He knows we can't. And so He saves us so that we won't sin. He calls us to flee the corruption from the world, not as a way of gaining points with Him, but because we love Jesus. Because we see who Jesus is and what His kingdom is, and we say, He is my Lord. And if He has called me out of this corrupt world to flee the corruption of sin in the world, and to resist the temptations of my evil desires, then Lord, that is what I want. How can I do that? He says, because I've equipped you. But God, it's so hard. I know. That's why I equipped you by my power, with my promises. This is why I've done this, so that you can walk in holiness. I know you can't do it alone. I know you can't do it by your own power. That's why I saved you, and that's why I call you to know me and walk in me now. To walk and grow in holiness. Brothers and sisters, don't give up on holiness. Don't just say, well, that's just the way I am, I'll never change. Whatever it is, the Lord has equipped you by His power, by knowing Him, and by His promises to grow in holiness, and to resist the evil desires that are within us. Friends, I have evil desires. We all have evil desires. Paul talks about that, right? Romans chapter 7. Love that passage. Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. What a wretched man I am. This flesh, he talks about. This flesh. And you go, Paul, I thought you were like super Christian, right? Something we can never attain to. Don't you believe it for a second. Paul is saying he wrestles with evil desires, with his sin nature, even though he's born again. Even though he's a believer in the Lord. He has tasted the first fruits, and now the process that God takes us through, by equipping us, of sanctification takes place. And Paul is wrestling. Paul is fighting against this sin nature that is within him. Not by his own power, as it goes into Romans chapter 8. He starts off by saying, what a wretched man I am, what can I do? And says, thanks be to God through the Holy Spirit that God has equipped him to pursue holiness and to flee the evil desires of this corrupt world. Notice also, just as a parenthesis, he doesn't say to flee this corrupt world. It says that we are to flee the evil desires and to not be corrupted by the world. I know the temptation. You know, before I had kids, you know, my whole thought was, you know, I just want them in the public schools and I want them in the roughest, toughest, hardest places. That's what I want for my kids, because I want my kids to go into the dark places and preach the gospel, because that's where they need it. And then I had kids and I said, let's build a wall around the house, right? Let's keep all sin out, put the sin barrier up, and we're not going to allow them to talk to people. We're not going to allow them to, you know, we're just going to protect. I don't know what the right answer is. It depends upon your children, depends upon what the Lord calls you to. I'm not suggesting there's one right way for us here. But I'm just calling out that sense of, hey, it's no big deal, just set them free into the corrupt world. That's not the answer. But it's also not the answer to say, let's pretend that there isn't a corrupt world and we'll just stay inside our own little Christian world. Jesus went and ate with the sinners, loved them, touched them, hugged them, healed them, gave them food, told them about the kingdom of God. And we must also. But I also note that when he sent his disciples out, young in their walk with him, he didn't send them out alone. He sent them out together in pairs and equipped them with the Holy Spirit that they would be able to heal and cast out demons and all of that. Because they weren't to go out alone, but they were to go out. So we don't flee the world, but we are called here to escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Brothers and sisters, what is it that the Lord is calling you to flee from? What is it in this evil world right now that is snaring you and that the Lord is calling you to flee from? It may feel too hard, and by your own strength it is. But God says it right here. It's His Word. He has equipped us for life and godliness so that we can escape the corruption of the world, to escape the temptation of our evil desires. Where would He lead us to this week? Growing in holiness, fleeing from sin. We're going to talk more about that too in our next series on spiritual warfare. How can we live a godly life in Christ Jesus? His ways are not my ways. Left to myself, my desires are for the corruption in the world. His ways are so high and so beautiful and so good, and I'm not. How can I then live a life in Christ and grow in godliness? God's taking care of that. God is equipping us by His power, by walking in intimacy with Jesus every moment of every day, by giving us His promises that you can trust all the way. He's doing this. He's equipping us so that we would grow in holiness and escape and flee from the evil desires of the world. And He's telling us this morning to focus our attention, to have us hope and trust in God as we go out from here and seek to live godly lives. We take with us the Word of God now, knowing better that which He is doing within us. And thus we are empowered through the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord to grow us in holiness. know the Lord and grow in knowing the Lord, that we would grow in holiness. Trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we give you praise that you have not left us on the road to hell, God. You have not left us in our sin, but that you have come and died on the cross, that you have made yourself known, O Lord God. I pray, Father, for any of us gathered here this morning who have not yet trusted you for salvation, Lord, that you would open our eyes and ears, that we would see and hear Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior. And by your grace, we come to you in faith, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for any of us struggling to walk with you on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, that we would be strengthened and encouraged by your word this morning, knowing that your power is equipping us for godliness, that relationship with you, you've designed to grow us in our godliness, that your very promises are equipping us for life and godliness. Father, may we trust you, and may we know you more and more this day. We praise you and pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.